Have you made an honest review? Jump onto fifthwrist.com and read real takes by real owners about their watches. And of course, get involved and write about what's on your wrist. Fifthwrist.com is your independent space to talk watches.
Welcome to the Independent Thinking Show for Fifth Wrist Radio. This is a place dedicated to showcasing the great people doing interesting things in the world of horology. My name is Roman, and today I'm joined by my favourite citizen of Frankfurt, the human dynamo himself, Klaus, a.k.a. Tapir FFM. Hello, Klaus. So good to see you.
Oh, yeah, Roman. Very, very nice to have you back again, or have me back again on your show.
Well, whenever you're on it, it's your show. I'm just pushing the buttons. You know how it works. But no, it's really good to see you. We haven't done a podcast for a little while, so no, it's always a
pleasure.
That's
true, yeah.
Your enthusiasm is always very infectious.
Thanks.
Now, always as much as I enjoy seeing you, usually the cue for us getting together is we actually have cool guests as well. And you know, I want to thank you for setting up this conversation as well. So we have a couple of guys from a brand that I suspect a lot of people are not super familiar with. I must confess, I certainly wasn't very familiar with them. I knew the name and a few things, but doing a little bit of research, the deeper you dive, the more interesting it becomes. But we've got Leonard and Massimo from Maurice de Mauriac with us. So welcome, guys.
Thank you for the invitation and well pronunciation of our complicated name.
Very stressful. It's very stressful, I have to say. But now, look, thank you. Thank you for joining us, guys. And as I said, hopefully by the end of this conversation, more people will kind of understand and know a lot more about you. Because as I was just said, you know, I certainly knew the name and it was on the periphery of the horizon of my sort of thinking, but you guys have a really interesting story. So hopefully we'll get into that today.
Sure thing. Yes.
Lovely. All right. Now, what we usually do, we have a very loose structure to these shows, but the thing we try to start with in a semi-professional capacity, we'll do a wrist check, a drink check, and a location check, because I think that kind of helps to center everybody on. We might start with Klaus, and then we'll go to you guys.
Location, as you said, I'm based in Frankfurt. It's 1:30 daytime, so my drink check is just a very ultra-low sugar lemonade, and that's it. Actually, I'm going back to work after that, after recording, so no alcohol for me today, unfortunately. And for the wrist check, I'm cheating a little bit. For the wrist check, I brought something special with me, which I can't put on my wrist because there is no strap anymore. Because the watch is so old, the strap fell apart. I have a watch which I personally associate with Zurich. It's a watch I first saw as a clock on a place in a small town called Baden-Baden in Germany in the mid-80s. And I always wanted to have that clock as a watch because, as our listeners can't see, it's a very strange time display, which you can't read very exactly. It's maybe up to 5 minutes if you're used to it. And I found that very appealing at that time. And it's like a PowerPoint chart with 12 different colors, like a pie chart with 12 different slices of pie and a disc in front of it where 1/12 is cut out so you can see what just one color. And if you say it's 11:30, you see half of the yellow slice, yellow for the 12, which is the sun, basically. And why do I bring it with me? I wanted always that watch, never could find it. There was no internet. And I walked through Zurich and I walked on through the Bahnhofstrasse and I saw that watch when I was just in my first year after university. And I walked straight into the store and bought that watch. So this is where it all started with me. And also I recently, when I prepared for this recording today, I read about Maurice de Mauriac as being just slightly weirder than many of the other watches that are on the same ballpark. And that reminded me of that really weird watch called Chromacron. The brand is defunct now. you can only buy it used. But having said that, when I was in Le Locle end of last year, in the watch museum in Le Locle, they have a Chroma Cronan display. And in the museum in Furtwangen in the Black Forest, in the watch museum, they have one as well. So it has have some impact in the 80s, 70s, 80s, when it was born.
It was a drug-fueled decade anyway, so that explains everything. Fair enough. That's very good. I mean, we should put a picture up. I mean, it's a really weird and I think it's a really weird and wonderful watch in that sort of sense. It, you know, it sort of straddles that watches as art thing really well.
Right.
Really well. So that's very cool. That's really
cool. You can find it, of course. You can find a review on the Fifth Wrist webpage.
That's my go-to destination. So that's good, hopefully, for other people as well. All right, not beautifully done, except for the drink check, but otherwise nailed it. All right, guys, we might hand over to Leonard and Massimo.
Yes, so I'm Leonard. You're lucky that you don't see us, so you cannot mix us up because we look alike, but we are not twins. Many think we are twins, but we are not. There is a 3-year difference between us. We call ourselves the Watch Bros to make it more easy for the people. And this we are. We are born in a watch company, kind of. Our father started the brand 26 years ago. And we are working here in the company since we are 10, I think. It's child work. No, yeah, just kidding. here in Switzerland, the Wednesday afternoon is free, and it was not free for us. We came always here to work, and we grew up really in this location where we are now. Here we build all our watches. We are the only watch brand based in Zurich, and you don't see it, but our atelier is very, very, very special. It's like the name says it, it's an atelier. It's where we create, where we design, but also where we sell. And so we put
it's very nice. The guys are just swinging the camera cool. around yeah. so we can look in. That's totally authentic. Not a Zoom background. It's very much a real place. Very cool. Yes.
And here, like really in the back, the watchmaker working. And awesome. So I compare it sometimes with a restaurant. In front, you order and it goes, the order goes in the back. There it's going to be created and then it comes back. And the head of kitchen is the watchmaker. And we have three different watchmakers. The longest with us was already with our father, like 20, 25 years we started. Yes. And about the watch. Yes. It's today about watches. Yes, of course. I'm wearing the Rallymaster and the collaboration which we had with the Racket, the tennis magazine. And it's a very, very nice watch designed by Carlton de Woody. Carlton is a very famous designer in LA, originally from New York. And so we call it a triple collab, three collab, because it was always a dream of Carlton creating a watch, designing a watch. And you know how hard it is to succeed a dream. And we did it with him. It was hard and long work, but we are very, very happy with the end result because it was just, it was sold out in 24 hours, so in one day. But no worries, we're working already on the Rallymaster 2, which comes out at the US Open in August, and it's open for buying, like pre-order in the time of the US Open. So you have then 2 weeks to push the button, and then it's a kind of limited edition, but limited in the, like you have 2 weeks to order, and after these 2 weeks, it's closed, the window is closed, and then we produce only what was ordered.
Sure. Okay.
It's Drinking. Yes, and drinking, yes, we had just an espresso from our 25 years old Lavazza machine, which is still working, never changed, and many come only for the coffee here, so it's no joke. Sometimes old things are still the best. It's the same with the watches. I mean, nowadays the production of this coffee machine is not the same like it was, so we are very, very happy to have this classic Lavazza machine. Yes.
Yeah, I love hearing stories of family-run businesses because it's always, kids are always involved, you know, and the machines are always last longer than they would anywhere else. Everything gets used until it's, yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's really nice. That's lovely.
Yes, and I'm Massimo, the second watch bro, and pleasure to be here. So for us, it was always very important to work with the father. We call ourselves also like a family from the farmers family, because everybody together works and only support each other. It's a bit like Cuba. You can only survive if everybody puts something in and you fight together as a team. And we learned that from small, like Leo said, with 10. After we did different internship, we learned also from other countries how the cultures work. I did an internship in Karlsruhe. Most people know it nowadays, Chrono 24. There at that time, it was 2011, there were only 12 people.
Oh, wow.
I was all the time with all of them discussing and seeing how the process was working. And now it's unbelievable how they grew. And it was nice to be in the beginning, learning how they're doing, because a lot of this knowledge I could bring back to our company.
Of course.
I studied abroad and then worked also at Oracle in London to learn about process, because our father is very strong with scholars, very strong with the people, but technology was not his strong side. So we then brought in all this knowledge and how we could develop a worldwide brand with a new website, with a very good Instagram account, and working worldwide with the suppliers. Nowadays, you use WhatsApp, you use all the different tools, which he was before always using fax.
Sure.
You know, handing something with fax, and that was it. So
your website is new as of today, is that right?
Because it's the launch of our new website, and we are super proud of it. Go check it out, review it. If you find some mistakes, let us know. We are always open for customer experience, and we listen to our customers. So it's very important. So yeah, give us feedback anytime. And now coming back, what I'm drinking, obviously also the espresso for a fast kick for this podcast, you know. And then also I'm now wearing the Grand Coeur, which is the first watch that we created, my brother and me. And it's an homage also to our father, because he retired 3 years ago. We took over and he did his last watch, was the L3Z's Red, with a red sapphire, which was fantastic and beautifully made. And we wanted to make an homage in a new watch. And the special thing was that, or still is, that there's no colored sapphire in the watch industry. And this was really our goal. We always are a color thinker and want to change the industry, want to look at it from outside the box. I don't like following everybody else. But trying new things. So that's why most of our employees also are not from the watchmaking industry. But coming back to the watch, we put on the backside a red sapphire. And this will give the watch the look, because the balance wheel is put in front. And then you really see the red pumping heart. And we limited it to 48. Let's see.
I can see that. That's beautiful. Massimo's just shining a light through it, and you could see the light going through the case back and then through the tinted sapphire and then all the way through the dial because of the skeletonization. That's cool. That's very cool.
Yes. It's limited to 48 pieces because we are here at Tödtistrasse 48 and each gets their pumping heart. The first push of the heart gets here.
Oh,
and so for us, it's very a lot of story. We're storyteller. We love stories. We create every week new stories, and we don't really have to search for it. They come to us.
That's cool.
And the invitation of the the inspiration was from our father. He always liked the glasses. With the sunglasses, you could always choose what color you want, if it's fully black or half, etc. And he said, like, how is it not possible that the watch industry, you can't? Because we work with such high-end material, it should be possible. But as a small one, you cannot push the big factory to go in a new level or in a new subject because we don't have the budget to say, okay, but we order, 10,000 pieces.
Sure.
So it's motivated. We order maybe 30, we order 50. And so they say mostly we have to find another one. And then my father was looking 2 years for a supplier, and we finally found one who could do it also in small quantity and which not cost like hundreds of thousands.
Sure.
So he succeed, and now it's one of our strength to have this tinted sapphire glass, and everybody is talking about it, and it's you have to see it in real. I mean, over the screen it's not the same, the photos are not the same. It's very it's something special. It often people think also it's a smartwatch or something. They don't understand. And then it's an end-wound movement, and then they're like, whoa, this is something I've never seen this before. And this effect, we are still very proud, and we are always looking to do, like Massimo said, something different, something fun, and we want to break the traditions, but we want to stick to the quality, of course. Like, we never talk about quality because quality is for us, it's like the base. We cannot do anything which is not our standard quality. We only do something which it matches our philosophy. Yes.
Mm. It's really interesting. Is it The reason we do this show, and the reason I'm really passionate about sort of family run or independent watchmaking, is it's always driven by, if it's done well, it's driven by the personalities of either the founders or the people. You know, you can really feel the person behind the brand. So hearing you speaking about Daniel, your father, and how he was always good with color, great storyteller, connected with people, that really shines through, even looking through the back catalog. It's a really wonderful thing that you guys are continuing, even
thank you
your
That's
father's
very nice to hear.
Now I should probably ask, now it's a family-run business, so when you say your father is retired, does that mean he still comes to work every day but he arrives at 8 o'clock in the morning instead of 7? Is that how that kind of works?
It's fun because many people, when you know my dad, many said he cannot get off work because he's so much energy, so much power. Maybe some say too much power, but for us it was always it was hard to see him go.
Sure.
And I think it was also very good that we are two, because one, like a single child, could not replace my father. There is a minimum need of two. And now our sister even stepped in, and we are now all the family. We are three brothers, siblings.
Yeah, right. Oh, wow.
And now our sister came. She's the youngest. She has still to learn a lot, but we are very proud to have her now on board. And she's the manager of our second location in the Zurich West. This is like a little bit like the Bronx from New York.
Right.
It's a cool new area in Zurich. And she totally gives the vibe there. And the second shop is in an old garage, like it was very used in a garage. And our neighbor just rebuilt an old
called Ape, Piaggio Ape, you know, this three wheels drive yes. where they have yeah. in Italy. And we transformed it to a watch vitrina. And now we can go with car to all the markets, to some booths. Now we are even cool. on Bahnhofstrasse. This is the most expensive street in the world. And we can exhibit the car there. So we are very, very proud.
Very clever.
The car there, yes. Yeah. So.
We love very the cool. old watches. We have yeah. a Land Rover from 1981, which we also created a watchmobile out of.
Yeah.
And where we can drive around and people always say, ah, you're the brand with the Land Rover. I know you already 10 years with the Land Rover. Like, no, actually the Land Rover is only 2-3 years old. But people already...
Yeah.
With tricks like this, we work... Because we don't have budgets like the big ones, they then sometimes copy it and say, wow, what a good idea. But then they just build it full, spend hundreds of thousands. But then it's not original anymore.
Yeah, it's not the same. So, never the same.
For us, this is very, we're usually the first one to try it out. And of course, it not always works out. But we try it with different perspective, trying with more with blood, with sweat, and a lot of work, really. To do it, small budget, and the others just have the budget. They go to an agency, say, hey, we want this and this. Here you have budget of 100,000 to it.
Yeah.
yeah. That's not us.
Yeah. No, well, that's, you cannot, we've seen this and we see it every day throughout the watch industry. You cannot replace creativity with budget. You know, so budget, you know, and we see it all the time with companies just misfiring massively or, creating, you know, you cannot replace something created with just advertising.
Yeah, we are also very proud, like our shop or the shop my father built, it was always the reflection of the film Smoke. I don't know if you know it. It's with Harvey Keitel, and there he sells cigars. But the place is much more than only selling cigars. It's a place where people meet, where people talk about politics, where people talk about their issues, maybe with their wife or whatever. My father always said, it's about the human being. It's not about if he's rich or poor or whatever. It's about what's his story. So he always asks, what's your story? And sometimes people say, I don't have a story. He said, you're wrong. Everybody has a story, and he has a brain of an elephant. My father can, I don't know how he did it. We wanted to apply with him to Wetten Das. Klaus knows it.
It's a game show.
A game show where sometimes they have incredible skills or talent, and we wanted to bring some clients with my dad did not know them, and he could tell their name and their story, and he would succeed. I'm 100%.
Oh wow! Very cool.
100% sure.
Wow.
No, but what I wanted to talk about the shop is my father built here this atelier, which is now, when we talk about budgets, etc., I mean, Breitling and IWC, they're building kind of this shop, these emotions, but just with a lot of money, like on Bahnhofstrasse with 5 million. But actually, my father started this, and now it's getting more and more approach also from the big ones to make this inclusive luxury, they call it. But we had not no name for it. We were just living. We lived it. And now there always the marketing comes after, and this is the, I think, also a problem. But we are very proud to be one of the first shop which was in this way. Also, my father started with the NATO straps. We have 65 different styles of NATO straps. He started in 2010, where nobody had NATO straps. You could not find them anywhere. And then slowly it started, and now everybody has NATO strap, but we are still king of NATO straps. Nobody has this collection like we do. And now this Moon's watch, where many are not so happy with the strap, we changed, I think, 60, 70 Moon's watch already to change to NATO straps of
really?
Ours. Which makes us proud and shows us that we are on the good way. Also, we have over 2,000 other straps. We have the biggest collection of watch straps in the whole Switzerland, I would say. Even IWC Schaffhausen, like in the where they built the watches, in the shop they recommended us. So this is crazy and a big honor for us. But it shows that many times the big ones did not reflect on the straps. There you could choose one either a metal or a croc strap, and that's it. And now it comes more and more that there are so many different materials, so many different styles. So it's another world, the straps. And my father always said it's more easy to be famous for straps than for watches, because there are over 500 watch brands in Switzerland. So that's hard work with low budget. So, but with straps, they don't cost that much, but they are very, very high end quality. We have a atelier also in Italy where we do unique straps and pieces. So sometimes they just come for straps. Yeah.
How much can you say? How much percentage of your business is straps as opposed to watches?
I would say 10%, 10-15% is really
strap. Which is a lot, because a strap is much less per.
Yeah, we sell many straps, and this was also my father said always. Take the money from straps and put it in marketing, and this is like play money, because this should it makes an impact, and you don't need to take it away from the watches.
So we started with the straps to be, you know, if somebody comes with a Patek and then wears a Maurice & Morex strap on it, it's also a bit an honor. It shows the quality that we are delivering.
Okay.
I got in touch with straps first, and then at one point they say, wow, these straps are actually fantastic. So for sure the watches are also the same quality. So they come. So this is interesting approach also to go from a different way, you know, not just go through watches, but like nowadays you build communities, and we are building communities also with merchandise. We create different now hats, which will have our NATO straps on it, which will look fantastic for the summer. We have shirts where you have the Maurice & Morex or driver pilot, where you can take it away and change. And so for us, people come in, even the people who can not buy a watch yet, they want to be part of this community. So they are.
Oh, this, very cool, example, bucket hats. Yeah, yeah.
The Zurich colors. We will have this year, 3 years. Every 3 years there is a big festival in Zurich celebrating Zurich, and now we will do that.
You got to export those to Finland as well. Yeah. The white and blue is very much to Finland. You got to wait for the World Cup. I mean, Finland never make the World Cup. But, maybe in ice hockey or something, you know.
For the Olympia, there, my brother.
That's right. Oh, that's cool.
Actually, funny enough, I recently bought a watch strap from another independent company. And the strap was actually quite bad.
Oh.
And I really like their watches, because they have a very clean, very very minimalistic design. But yeah, I always think about that strap I bought.
Yeah, you see,
which I was never wearing.
Need to deliver.
Yeah. Also, the strap, it needs to be a quality transfer of the quality of the watch, and this is the, like, many think of the strap, it's just an add-on, but it's not. It makes actually 80% nearly of the watch. If you look at it, you see it from the side, and
feel it when you wear it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very, we know how important it is, and we know how big the impact of a strap for the client is. Also, when people come and want to change their watches, with us you can always come and pimp your watch, we say. We have a patent where you can exchange the bezel. So you can come and put diamonds on, put the gold lunette on, put, I don't know, a serrated bezel. We have, this is a patent from our dad where you can exchange the top ring. And this is, and before we do this stuff, we always change the strap. And people are often, they say, like, it's no way this is the same watch. I said, this is the same watch. I just changed the strap. And sure. Then they always see how how big the impact of a strap is when you put it on a watch. You can make it sporty, you can make it elegant, you can make it, you can make the watch itself can look totally different. Yeah.
So then just let me back up a bit. So when you say you can customize a watch, so if you have a customer who comes in and is interested in, is it any model of yours? Any model in the shop?
Yes, the minimum is that you can choose the dial, you can choose the coating, you can choose the material like titanium, steel,
for
bronze.
Anything
except for the limited edition, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Like this, it is. But you can always come and change. And this is
I saw the bronze bracelet. Yeah. Awesome.
And the
amazing
bronze, exactly. And this is a lava orange dial. And this has also a nice story. We learn a lot, or we do also a lot for our clients. And this, our clients have, we are in Zurich, so they have nice cars. And he had a lava orange car, a Porsche. And he came to us and said, of course, he needs the matching watch. He gave us the plate, the number of the Pantone of the car. We sent it to the factory and we did the Degradé lava orange dial just for the client. And if we do something, he can choose if he wants that he's the only one, like piece unique, or we take it in the collection and we sell more watches with this dial. And sometimes they're also very proud to that we take it into the collection.
Of course.
Because, we just see how nice it looks, and it's a good error. So, or it's a good way trial, exactly. When we take the client kind of as a partner, because we do 50-50 on the execution, on the price of the dial, and then he's proud to be the first. And yes, this is just how we work very closely with our end clients. This is why we nearly don't do mistakes, because we know exactly what he wants, because he tells us what he wants. So, and this is also the story why it's written Maurice de Mauriac Zurich. Before, when we started, my dad was Maurice de Mauriac Swiss, but Swiss, everybody had Swiss, so it was not unique. And then a lawyer came and he said, like, man, Daniel, you're working here. You're from local. You live in Zurich. You produce in Zurich. Why is written Swiss, not Zurich? And my father said, man, you're absolutely right. And then he said, I only will buy a watch if you put on Zurich. And he said, okay, you're right. This is a mistake. And we did all the dials we did new with Zurich, but it was a lot of money which we had to reinvest, but it was worth it. And today you see how the big one always put in Le Brassu, AP, Höhlenstein, Oris, IWC Schaffhausen. So they always go not anymore in Switzerland, so more local. So this was also, the lawyer was right, and we are very happy to still have him as a client. So this is just shows how we can learn from the clients, and we are not arrogant at all and saying, oh, just buy a watch and go away or whatever. With us, you can talk and you can, kind of create your watch or your idea with us. Also, here you see in the shop, there are so many things which client bring to us because they say, you know, it's in my garage, I never use it, I'm proud if it's in your shop. And then they come with the friend and show, look, this is for me, it was in my garage, etc. So it's very much a people business which we are in, and this is important still for us. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, let's wind back a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
No. This has been really good, because I think what I really enjoy about these conversations for the podcast is just getting to know the people behind and the stories behind the brands. And this is gold. Like, I think I'm really enjoying it. I'm sure our listeners would be as well, because these are the stories you never hear. You know, you just, even as a client, you don't always get to have the story. So Daniel
didn't come from a watchmaking background at all. So started a company in 1997, I think, yeah, because it's 26 years now. So maybe tell us, first of all, actually, let's talk about the name, because you guys, you're the Dreyfus family or the Dreyfus family, whichever way, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Now, could you tell us the origin of the name? Because I did some researching. I found a theory, but I'm not sure that's correct. There's something about a Nobel Prize winning poet and a Montaigne the philosopher and something. Maybe give us the spiel.
It's all correct, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. You did your research well.
So I tried.
Are correct.
Okay.
So, yes, our father started as a banker, and since our last name is Dreyfus, Jewish name, he was not sure if this will work in Zurich. He knew in Paris, right, in London, with Rothschild, with all these fantastic names, this would work. But here he wanted to protect the family, us,
sure,
if it would not work out.
Right.
So here, okay, he said, okay, let's try something else. Let's try, I'm not sure which one, let's do something French then, because in luxury, it's always good to have a French name.
Of course.
And if you're not sure, go in French. And then he was searching for the name. He went to the cemetery, checking beautiful names, calling my mother, hey, which one I should take? And she said, let the dead be dead. Don't steal their names. Come on, we find something.
That's a voice of wives everywhere. You can almost hear the just leave it just...
Yeah. Yes, let them be. The ghosts were like, no, don't take our name. But so he said to himself, yeah, that's right. Okay, I need something that I trust in, something that stands out for me. And de, serving the king, is always good in the French.
Sure, gotcha.
And Maurice is Moshe, protected, the Jewish name.
Yes.
Moshe,
yes.
Which... they couldn't call themselves, so they called themselves in many countries Maurice, yes. So to protect, to hide a bit.
Yeah, of course.
Still,
of course.
The origins are still in the name, Maurice de, and Mauriac, a beautiful place that he liked. And then also coming, well, as you said, Michel de Montaigne is the essayist. He created essays, so he broke the rules and he created something new.
Wow.
So for our father, this was very important. He loved to read from him. Then François Mauriac, a Nobel Prize winner, Mauriac again. So there are a few things coming together for this name. And always when the people ask us, we're like, all right, now let's get the books.
Let's tell the story. Now this is good. This is good.
A two-hour presentation. But yeah, it's nowadays, it's of course a long name, so we are shortening it. We still put Maurice Mauriac, but in the new website, for example, we do MDM.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to pronounce, also for people if we call and they say, what's your email? I'm like, masmo.dreyfus@mauricemauriac.ch. They will always make
it. It's a long
gotcha. So email will never come.
That's right, exactly.
So we started shortening.
Yeah,
nowadays,
okay.
Anyway, everything is shortened.
Yeah, nobody has time anymore. not even for our name, they have time. So.
Yeah, it's all TikTok now. It's all 15 seconds. By the time you say the brand, it's the next video. Right, gotcha. No, that's good. But thank you for telling me this story, because as I said, I was reading the story and I couldn't quite piece that together. And, you know, this is good.
Yes.
And the story proves something else. It proves again that talking about things is much better than just writing it down. I read what you've put on the website, but your story, as you just told it, is so much more interesting and so much more, there are many details which you can only in the personal talk, you can appreciate them. Really great.
Yes, but we have still to point out that our texter is very much talented. It's not just the marketing text. He always makes fun, different new ways of texting. So I would say our text, of course, one-to-one, we are even better, but our texts are already very well. So shout out to our texter, Jörg Kramer. So.
You're right. Correct.
And everyone, you know, if you're listening to this, definitely make sure you check out the website. It's just, it's one day old. It's all fresh. Go and dive in and explore. No, it's very exciting. No, that's very cool.
And so, also, banker time was because our father was a junior banker. He was very young, like in our age when he was in banking. But he always dressed up. For him, it was the dress, like the T-shirts, etc., were very important. And one he loved the most was a Hosenträger. How you say?
A pants.
Suspenders.
Hosenträger. Sorry?
Suspenders, I think, isn't it?
The things you kind of wear, to hold your pants. Yeah, suspenders,
and
yeah.
He was wearing the colorful suspender, and then the chief banker came and he said, like, Junior, you can't walk like this with this nice suspender. This is my thing, and you have to work up to wear this.
Wow.
Like in military, you get only when
that's
you...
Right, that's right, that's right.
For time, you get... All the colors.
Exactly. And he said, like, fuck this guy. And then he, and now he says, he said one time to me, the NATO straps are now his suspenders.
Like, yeah. You know, I don't work in the finance world, but I know a lot of watch collectors you run into at events work in finance. And the funny, I always find it very funny when you see guys, group of guys who all work for the same company. There is a hierarchy of suits, there's a hierarchy of watches, and there's a hierarchy of shoes. You know, so yes. You can say, oh, those guys are juniors. So the watches are always going to be, it's up to a Rolex, whatever, let's say it's a Submariner. It's never more, you know, it's never a Daytona, it's never, because you have to, you know, I can only get this. If I make my end of, you know, it's that kind of very much regiment. It's like military, exactly right. And, you know, the higher they go, the more boring the watches become.
Yeah.
Until they go really high and it's MBNF and then you could start, you can talk to them. Otherwise, it's all just, you know, APs and sort of nonsense. But it's really funny that the suspenders were a thing. That's like a, you know, you have to work your way up to it. That's really funny.
There is a book, Bye Bye Bank.
Okay.
And, this is a very nice book where our father is also included. And it's a 21 Swiss banker who are doing now totally different things. One does cheese, one does gardening, and one does watches like our father. So if you're maybe for Klaus, it's only in German, but it's very inspiring how what you can else do with your life than running numbers in a boring bank. Yeah.
They must use it for those therapy sessions for bankers exiting the industry. It's like, it's okay, you know, you're not a failure. Look, there's a big world out there. Just read this and just, you know, stop crying. Oh, that's very funny. That's really good. So your dad started the company. So maybe tell us now about the watches that you make. So you have quite, you know, for a small company, for a relatively small family-run company, you guys actually make quite a wide range of watches. So maybe tell us about the watches that you make and maybe more specifically the watches that you don't make. There's particular complications you don't make. You know, how do you decide what to do in that sort of sense?
Well, we do watches for the creative class. And for us, it's very important that we have different levels of watches. So we start from 2000 and our most expensive is 24,000. So we have entry watches for, of course, the 2000 is already can be a lot of money for some people. For others, it's nothing. If you don't have 10,000, they will not even look at you. So we do, for us, it's important that almost everybody can wear a watch from us if they really want to. In Switzerland, if you want to buy a watch for 2000, you can work and you can earn it. So for us, everybody who comes in, we don't judge and we see, ask him and we understand what kind of watch he wants. And we have different categories where we have the L1, L2, L3. These are very Swiss iconic watches, very designed. Here we work with a designer, Fabian Schwertzler, who usually works for Vitra, is an industrial designer. He does chairs, tables, and now watches with us. We started in 2014 with him, and we have so many designers coming, hey, I want to do, how about? And it's not so easy to create a watch. You know, it can look on paper good, but then really wearing it and not so easy, and all the technology behind. So with him, we did 10 pieces and they were gone in a second. So we realized, hey, actually, there is a need. The Swiss, you know, they don't like to show off too much. They like nice watch or nice thing, but they don't want to. The people usually, depends, but they are purists and they love to have good quality that they can wear for a long time. And it always looks good, but it's not too shiny, all the diamonds on. There we have many architects who come in, or people that just were waiting, looking for a long time for this watch. A very purist watch, black, white, with a date, stainless steel, bam, L1, tuck. These people come in, they know exactly, you don't have to start, hey, you can customize or anything. No, we just these are the easiest customers. They come in, they want to try it, to try it on, they say which size, and that's it, out.
Rush.
Wow. Then we have other ones that come in and they love to be in the process and like to decide. And so with them, we do like the lava orange, or we do some special project. They come in and say, hey, I have a club. I would love to do something with the club. So we make a special watch for this club. I did the one watch with my friends, 16 friends, and we did with the Zurich logo. Each could decide their watch themselves. Just the dial would be the same, and everybody is engraved in the back, stuff like this. Because we're, as you said, relatively small. You directly walk in, you talk to us. You don't talk to the salesperson. That salesperson needs to talk to his manager. The manager talks to this. But then in the end, this guy says, no, we're not doing it. So all goes back up.
Yeah, of course.
For us, this is direct, and people love it. Then we have the limited editions, where we work also with a lot of collabs, which we make also to spread the world, spread the love, and to get into other into other markets, because we don't work much with retailers. This is our strategy, through ambassadors who already bought our watches and became ambassadors by really applying, wanting to show this to their friends, and also through collabs that we did, for example, with Stan Smith, which was very successful for us in worldwide. They were writing about it. The Swiss, always a bit different. They first need everybody else approval from worldwide, and then they write about us. Because before, it cannot be that in this small Switzerland that the guy, that this brand exists and is so cool. Only when everybody's writing about it, they're like, they must be cool if everybody's writing.
Right. Yeah, the home market is always the hardest. Yeah.
That was a question which I had on my list. How do you get to all these collabs with that Vitra designer, with Stan Smith, with these, I forgot their name, these musicians from Paris, the twin guys. How do you get there? I mean, if I would reach out and say I want to collab with Stan Smith, yeah, okay.
No, it's always between, nearly it's always family, friends, or somebody, hey, you know these guys, you have to talk to them. It's very, very rare that we go to somebody. It's often that they come, or a friend of them come to us, because we like you said, if we out of nowhere would write to Stan Smith, we would never succeed. But if there with Stan, we knew his personal photographer, and we met Stan at Wimbledon, US Open, etc. We met him like 3 times before we even talked about this project. And then one time we were just having a beer or whatever, and then it comes to this point where we're starting about this possible collaboration. So it's always when you're not greedy or not looking for an opportunity, you get opportunity. And this is also how we work and how we live. We don't have fear that one day we say we don't know anybody else who we can work together. We have so much in the pipeline that we always need to go back and see who is next, because it's going very well. I wanted the first question about the watches, that we have a very wide range. We can be proud to have I'm always proud to see this range, because I say every watch in this range, it's nice. It's not like this, I compare it sometimes with Tudor. They have the Black Face or Black Bay, or they have like five nice watches. It's everybody can do five nice watches, but to have a wide range like we have, and that you can say every watch is nice, this is very rare. Or the big ones have problem because they're selling only one piece, like the Daytona, like the Royal Oak, like everybody wants this piece. This is, then you have a problem. But with us, we have such a wide range. We have so, and every watch is nice, so we don't have a problem that everybody wants the same watch, which is at the end very good for us. And for us, it's also very important that when we have a nice watch, we produce it then in bronze, we produce it maybe in another size. Like we are very much good in verdichten,
to dance a
project or an object in different things. Or like Virgil Abloh said once, you change 3% and it's something new. And we are totally agree with that, because when you do another color, you have kind of a new watch. But I don't want to say we are boring and only doing new dials. But we always think, how can we use this in a different way without breaking our budget, doing always a new watch? Because to do a completely new watch, it's such a long process when people do, where people think, oh yeah, just put the pointer on, stop it there. So easy, it's not. Or when a pointer breaks off of a watch, they always, put the pointer back on. I said, like, this is not so easy like you think it is easy.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, so is
it hard to keep? So how does it work with you guys? Do you keep a large inventory on hand, or is watches made to order? You know, if I order a watch today, does it take, you know, a month to put together, or are they kind of on the shelf mostly? Like, how does that work for a small company?
For us, this is the strength also, and of course the weakness, that we are not so big that we cannot. Before, our father needed to order 1,000 pieces each of the cases, 1,000, 5,000. So this was very hard. So he had to think about the system, how to reuse these cases.
Yeah, of course.
The project doesn't work.
Of course.
The big brands, they create a new watch and it needs to sell hundreds of thousands
of
times,
course,
so that it's worth the while. And this makes it, that's why they have done to put all the effort on this to sell it. For us, we were rethinking, how can we use these 1,000 pieces or 10,000 to always make something new out of it? But still, if one project doesn't work out that well, that we can reuse it for others.
Yeah, so for us, sure.
We have a big stock, but we can always readjust it. We sit always, that's why we have this big table, university, we call it this table, tavola, grande tavola here, where we are sitting on. We often spread a lot of ideas that we have before, put new, and we combine it in a new way. And through that, you create a completely new watch, and you still have many pieces left. So it's also for sustainable reason. We don't need to every time order new.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes just changing, like Leo said, a few percentage changes the complete look. So when we work with designers, usually we say, look, this is what we have. We give you the dial, the hands and all, you can, and the strap, and there you can design, but the case, for example, we already have.
Yes, and I understand.
Stuff like this, so that we have some base already that we don't need to reinvest, because it's very complicated to make a good looking case. And then it needs to fit again, the strap, it needs to fit the movement, it needs to fit this, that. So in the end, it's very hard. So if it makes it a bit easier if you use some parts already.
Yeah, and of course. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, so that's why we have the patent on the bezel, that you can reuse it. People come in and you can then, just through things like this, we create completely new watches with still using our stock. And as Leo said before, It's like the kitchen. We have many things already finished, like you have the quiche or some cake or stuff you already have that you can just choose, and you say, I want this one. You get the piece and finish. But then other things, special menu where you say, I want to put this, but I don't like cheese.
So you can modify, that's right.
Your own, and the, on the side behind, the watchmaker will put it together. And within a few days, you have the watch that you chose to have.
Yeah, so with us, it's normally we have a finished collection here. Like we have over, I think, would say 150, 200 watches we have finished here in the shop. And then when you have a special idea or also our Le Mans lucky number where you can choose the dial, the number on the dial, you can we can put it in the bag. So it's nearly done. I would say it's 90% done. We only need to change the dial. And this takes then around 3 days, and then you can collect it. So it's different. Sometimes you can take it straight away if you want our normal collection. I would say we have always stock of this, but if you want something more special, then it's made to order. Yeah,
that's very cool. I mean, to me, I think the more I spend collecting independent watches, and part of the joy for a collector is having something special is the wrong word, but you know, having something made just for you, which fun for a collector, I would imagine would be a tremendous pain in the ass for the maker. That's a technical term. You know, but hearing how agile, you know, and flexible and quick you guys are, that's terrific. I mean, you certainly don't get that level of customization, return, ability to have the conversation about things with a larger company. So that's very compelling. Absolutely.
There's no way. But there was even Rolex, this is you could nowadays never think of it. You were allowed to change the dial. Now, no way. But like I'm talking 20 years ago, the customer just told me, like, oh, I changed from white to blue. What? With Rolex? This was incredible. I could not believe. But it was at this time, it was true. But now also with us, you can still do it. And this is just such a sustainable way of, even if you have a watch from us, you can come and change only the dial and you have a completely new watch.
Absolutely.
For 450 Swiss franc. This is... We are always thinking, what would we like in a shop?
Sure.
And we always try to be the shop from our dreams. And this is what we want to give to our end clients. Yeah.
Again, a number question for me at that stage. How many in percentage are you selling through the shop physically in Zurich?
80%.
Wow.
I think also the big ones did not online shop is very important, but like you also know, it's totally different to wear a watch, to see the size, to see the it happens if sometimes also rich people, they just buy we had for Valentine's Day one guy bought for 18,000 a gold watch. It can also happen, like
online.
And
somebody was in trouble with the watch.
Exactly. But this is rare. But it's we talk about omni-channel. So you have to have the online shop, and the people come mostly. They come inside the shop, and they know already very specific what they want. And they know about the material. They need to check the size and how it feels. But
except
that, they know everything around it. So it's not that you sell so much online, but it's very much for the end consumer to get information.
Yeah,
To get inspired, etc. So it's. Our goal is one day that we have 15, maybe 20%. But this we're talking, this takes 5 to 10 years until you have this percentage.
And also for the big ones, they say online shop sells like one good boutique, and one good boutique sells 300 watches a year. So if you have imagine like a big brand, they sell online 300, 400 watches, which is comparison nothing. Nothing,
yes, exactly.
Or how many pieces they sell in shop. So, so this is what we still see now.
Yeah. And are you guys present internationally on the ground? Do you? What's your retail network like, or people in Australia, for example? You know, is there a way to experience the watch?
We have. As I explained before, ambassadors, we created an ambassador system because retailers, you know, we just met, we were in Geneva for the watch fair, we exhibited, and a guy that knows our father for a long time, he has two brands that he brought to America, he's a wholesaler, and he loves us and wanted to bring us to America. And he said, hey, guys, let's have dinner. And then afterwards, he told us, I'm not sure if you're ready for wholesale. I love your brand, but wholesale is also another level. And we're like, yeah, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
He said, look, if you any retailer in America asks for at least 50%, then he needs to earn another 25%. You have marketing contribution that from the revenue they make, you have to put 5%. Also, then you have costs, you know, there is something broken or there is a other strap. They say, I need an XL strap or something. So for us, it makes no sense. If you sell 500, 600, 700 pieces a year, makes no sense. If you do mass, okay. If you have the big, if you have a big name and you can tell them, okay, we do it like this, but you have to buy all of them advance. And every year you have to spend and buy our new product.
Yes.
Fine, that works. But for us, not. We don't have the strengths like most independent don't have. So this is very hard to get. So that's how we were thinking what we can do is first, our website is really good and we ship worldwide. So people are ordering worldwide and without problems, they get it. And we have many people now or more and more, it's word of mouth. So if somebody wears it, they show it to the next one, they try it on, or they want to be our ambassador so they can meet in a cool coffee because they know the place is the best. They know the friend, they have a good circle. And if somebody asks me, hey, I'm in this country, I would like to see the watch. So I will check if I know somebody, I will ship the watch to this guy. He will show him the watch.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Stuff like this. So you have it's a bit like Mossad, like in Israel, the military, where they have everywhere Jews, and then they can always, if they go on holiday, they can live in this house, and they have always the connection. And
The sleeper agents,
Exactly. We have these sleeper agents everywhere. And this is for us, of course, how we also go into the countries is, as I said, with the collabs. So when you have a cool collab with a strong partner, they have already a good network. So Racket magazine in New York. So we already then have a base. When we will launch the other watch, they will do a big thing.
So we can just
add on. We don't know because, of course, all the big brands also work with retail because they don't know how the markets work. So that's the easiest. But then now more and more brands also don't want to do it anymore. So they do it at the mono boutique. They do their own things. They do their houses, etc.
Sure.
To be more in that market and don't give away these 50 to 70%. But it makes it hard to go in new countries. But yes, we just always with these collabs, we find new ways to get in these markets.
Yeah, or the experience, like you see these AP houses or everybody is talking. It's about experience. The shop is a experience, and many times they come here just because we have this nice
Atelier
shop boutique.
Sure.
Where you, with the watch, you buy this experience, and this is the same like with when you meet Morris, we call them like Mossad Morris all over the world. You meet them in a nice coffee where you would not usually go, and you have a totally
new approach how you buy a watch than going in a boutique which looks all in the world the same, which is
yes.
boring. And sure. then you buy a watch from a friend, not from a salesperson. It's much more like again like the human
yeah, family.
Being. The family, yeah, you're part of this. And also our friends or ambassadors or these Morris people, they are proud because they can either they make also money because when they sell, they get commission and they belong to us and they help us. So they're part of our family. And also everybody who buys a watch from us, we say welcome in the family because they belong now to us. And also my dad always said every client which is bought a watch one time from me and he's in a shit with whoever he can come and talk like with a
therapist
or a friend. You can come and we talk about this issue, not that you need to buy something else. I mean, you did already, so it's a showing of respect and trust to the client. And this we keep the same, and it's still very important. So we usually say some people come as a client but go as a friend, and this is still very important for us.
Oh, look, I mean, thank you for telling us the story. That makes perfect sense. And you know, we've had a number of through these podcasts we've had a number of independent small brands. And we always ask the distribution model, and it's a very common story, you know, and not just in Switzerland. You know, we were speaking with Roland Murphy from RGM a couple of years ago, and he had the same experience. And not only were the commissions through retailers high, but also the staff at those bigger retailers weren't necessarily selling the smaller brands that well or at all anyway. And then and more recently, we've chatted with the guys from Zeitwinkel. And they had the same problem. They had the same experience, but they've now sort of pulled right back and actually just doing their own distribution through, friends and sort of small things. Works, makes perfect sense to me for sure. So you guys make. I was looking through the website. You make quite a wide selection of complications as well. So you know, you make time only, obviously, but then you have chronographs, double chronographs. Moon phase watches, which I really like, and skeleton watches as well. Is there a reason behind just those, or are there plans to do, I don't know, you know, annual calendars, perpetual calendars, you know, tourbillons that Klaus likes, or minute repeats? Like, what's the limiting factor?
So the limiting factor is, of course, the movements. As you know, these are not movements where you get from ETA or from a usual supplier. So when we work high-end, we work with Concepto, which is a factory in La Chaux-de-Fonds. Mm-hmm. There are not so many people know them, but they did amazing thing. Like they did the Octo Finissimo, the Finnish watch.
I didn't realize it was them.
Bulgari one, they did this, like Breitling buys the movement from them, Hublot buys a lot from them. Jacob & Co. goes Klaus's in and favorite. Out there. And so this is, and then they talk about in-house movement, etc. I hate this word in-house movement because
definitely. It's rubbish.
It's rubbish. You cannot tell because Hublot tells this, but we see how they buy the movements from Concepto, and Concepto says I don't give a shit because they buy 10,000 movements, so sure. I don't care what they say. They can say it's Japan. They can say any story about this as long as they buy 10,000 movements. So this is I hate this in-house movement. So this is why we could also tell now the Concepto movement is our in-house movement, but we are want to be transparent, and we say we would never have the money because we know a movement costs easily 5 to 10 millions, and then it's not yet even good.
Like that's right. Well, that's
so
always
many
the problem,
problems
right?
with new movement.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for sure.
And
sure.
we don't want to have this problem because we would be bankrupt if we have one problem with an in-house movement. Have fun.
You're gone.
To come back to your question, whenever we have something which we want, we go to Concepto and say, do you have something in the pipeline which maybe you have already for someone else, and you could just making it new for us, for our cases, etc., to make it smaller. So so this is how we work when we looking for a new watch, a new movement, or a new customization. We go to Concepto and ask them. And like this is also a family brand, like our factory. So my father always work with the father of Concepto, and now we are working with the son. And
this, that's lovely.
And they would never work with us because we are ordering like 50, like 100 pieces maximum. And this is a joke for them because normally they work in other numbers, but they just love our father. They love now us, and they compare us. It's a big honor, but they compare us with marketing-wise like Richard Mill. They say they're like, they're so impressed what we do with their movements. Like they say, you're incredible. What we do with this budget, others would not even do a half a campaign. And this is our yearly budget. So we are very happy that we can do it, and it's also fun. To have restricted budget makes you think much harder so this is, we always try to take the disadvantage and make it advantage.
And answering also, we started with all ETA movements, but now more and more we do manufacturing movements where we work with Concepto, we will work with La Schuppere, and we have a few goals in our mindset that we want to reach with complications, like an 8-day power reserve. We would love to have something. We already made once a tourbillon, which is a beauty we made, but we only made one out of one, to have one tourbillon to show that we can create it.
Sure.
And, you know, price-wise, we are not there yet to ask and create tourbillon. Nobody yet is willing to pay 75,000, 100,000. We test the market always, and we are at the moment, but we have people buying watches up to 20,000 from us.
Sure.
But more, then you need to also create something new. You need to approach very different. You know, some people for 100,000, you need to have a name that is well known until they can show.
Yeah, of course.
So for us, we have, it's funny, people who buying watches from 10,000 to 20 are very, very different to people from 2,000 to 10,000. The ones from 10,000 up, they buy watches every year, at least one from 10,000 up. And it doesn't matter for them if it's 10,000, 12,000, 15,000. For them, it's important. They need to like it. They need to have the number that they already had and that they are one of the first to show. And they have budget because they already have houses, they have their cars.
It's disposable
income. For them, it's just playing money. For others, 2,000, 4,000, it's like you buy a watch and you will wear it a few years and you will not wear something else in that time, usually.
Sure.
If you don't give them something from 10,000 up, they will go to another brand because they want to spend and they want to reward themselves.
Yes.
So this was always. Also from Hublot, Jean-Claude Beaver, who said they're very different. It's much easier to sell a watch for 10,000 plus because the people will not think, can afford, how saving. They just, I like it or not. If they like it, they go for it.
Yes. And you're going to have something new every year. That's right.
It's a very paradox when it's a saying of Jean-Claude Beaver. It's easier to sell a watch for 20,000 than to sell a watch for 2,000. And when you hear it, it's paradox. You say, how can it be? A watch which is 10 times more value than a watch for 2,000. But he's absolutely right, because they are just different people. It's when you, like Massimo explained, the people who are 20,000, it's not their last 20,000. They have millions and millions.
Yes.
So this is a fun way to spend the money. And the second rule of this is the guy for 20,000 will come next year and says to you, what do you have else? What do you have else?
What's new?
Value?
And the guy for 2000, you see at the next revision in 10 years, you see the next time, because he spent his money and he's gone. You don't see him again. So this is, we got now to a level which our customer, or where we have this clientele of, this is a very nice clientele, of course, and they're not at all like oh, I don't like this, I don't like this. They're much easygoing in spending much more money than that guy for 2000 saying, oh, I want this, I want this, I want
sure,
this.
Yes, of course.
It's one watch. It is a Grail watch, and he will not come in the next 10 years. He knows it too. So it's much harder process to sell this guy the watch for 2000 than to sell a watch for 20,000.
But Leonard, I think you are right. I always think of, you know, the customer loyalties, when you're talking about customers as your ambassadors, that is very right. And I often find, you know, the people who buy a lot of watches, you know, are often less loyal to a brand because, you know, they've got wandering eyes. You know, they can afford everything. So they like to sample, and but whereas if you get somebody who thinks about every purchase very deliberately and actually takes them a year or something to work up to, when they bite and they're happy, they will be the ones telling everybody, right? Everybody. So I often have that, you know, because I buy mostly independent watches, and often the watches that I buy, there's not many around in Australia, and I find myself being the person going, oh, you should definitely check it out. I lend my watches out to people, and, you know, there's always, you know, you lend a few out, there's usually a few people will buy the same, go, you know, because it's sort of go, oh, he bought one, he likes it, I bought it, you know. So it's that word of mouth, I think, is really important.
Yes, it is still, it's the oldest marketing, but still the best word to mouth, mouth to mouth. It's we always say, hey, recommend us. Or we also king of TripAdvisor, because it's the same mouth to mouth, but just online. And
sure.
If you put in TripAdvisor number one shopping in Zurich, we are kings.
Is that right?
4.9 recommendation, because if you come here, you get the full service. You get the full
experience. You get the Zurich experience.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
it's not watch related. Just if you say shopping Zurich.
Yeah, shopping Zurich.
This is very fantastic.
Cool. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Our father was one of the first who said, like, just one sentence when they were happy, just say, please recommend us on TripAdvisor. And TripAdvisor at this time, like I'm talking again, 20 years ago, was not that big like it's now. Mm-hmm. And they also, same system with Facebook, they see when you started this, and they treat you much, the older writings
accounts, yeah,
get much more higher like
priority
ranking.
Priority,
because it's they also think you supported them when they were not big, and this it's the same, and this is why we are still number one TripAdvisor shopping, which we are proud.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, how many watches do you guys make a year? Is that sort of, are you okay to talk about that? Like, roughly, what's the volume?
Yeah, so we are making around 600.
Oh, wow.
600 watches, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So in some ways, that's, I always, you know, you always hear about, you know, exclusivity, you know, you hear these words coming through. I mean, 600 watches a year, it's very small in terms of just, if you think of volume, even for independent watchmaking, that's quite small. That's very cool. And you managed to fit groups and kind of collector circle watches into that as well, which is very cool. I like community watches. I really like. We at Fifth Wrist recently did one with Oxen Junior. So we're very keen on kind of collector group stuff. That's very cool.
Yes, but we have to say our clients are mostly Oxen Junior is exactly the opposite. It's about the movement, about the watchmaker behind it. We are just doing beautiful movements with a beautiful story, but our clients don't not all of them are so interested in the
movement. Yeah, sure.
They
get it. Totally get it. Totally get it.
Yeah.
But this is a little bit different. Yeah.
But the I think the concept is the same. You know, it's that if you get a group of people who have a community, whatever that community is, and it's just finding a partner to do a community watch. Yeah, absolutely. It can be a dial, could be a case. We see it all the time, and it's probably changes over time. But the fact that you guys offer that as a service, that's a fantastic thing. I think that's a wonderful thing.
As a marketing guy, I have to say, you said it's the opposite, Oxen Junior and your stuff. On the Axis movement, it's the opposite. As a marketing guy, I'm loving portfolios. So two or three dimensional. And in the dimension of, say, I want to have an individual piece. I want to have something which not everybody has. I want to maybe something change something, different hands or whatever. On that axis, actually, you're in the same ballpark. So on a portfolio, you would stand on the same side, but on the opposite edges.
That's true. Well said.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is, on your website, you mention you allow workshop visits, and I only really noticed that because one of my favorite comedians, Tom Segura, recently popped through because I was flicking through Instagram. I'm like, hang on a second.
That's his watch, actually. I was out this week.
Yeah. That's cool.
He ordered the 22.
Tom, if you're listening, we can see it. It's already scratched up and everything. kidding, obviously. But that was very cool. I was flicking through. I'm like, I know that face. It took me a second. I'm like, that's Tom Segura. He was just in Melbourne. He did a tour. So he was in Melbourne like maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah, he did. Actually, he's doing his world tour, finally finishing after, I think, 23 months.
Yeah, crazy. Something crazy like that. Yeah.
And so I got, because we are number one in TripAdvisor and Google reviews, and we started doing since 2 years these watchmaking courses, the tour manager, he wrote to me and said, hey, Tom loves watches. He just travels.
Oh, is that right?
He always buys other watches. And I'm sure he would love this. So we were texting forth and back. And then I like, damn, I know him from Netflix. Is this that from Segura? So all right, check. And it actually was him. And through the manager, we created this experience for him. He came and he loved it this much. He even took two watches. Both L3s he loved. And invited me for the show in the evening. So I saw him wearing already our watches.
How cool is that?
He really loved the experience. He said, people don't understand. They always say, you travel to so many places. What are you checking out in these places? Where are you going? And he said, man, I'm traveling so much. I sometimes just want my time for myself. And because I have always the show, so often just stay in the hotels and do not much. But I love watches, and I saw that you were a cool guy, so that's why I was very interested to do it. And
that's nice.
That was a real honor. And he posted us right away, which gave us also more followers. And he was so nice; was really a nice. He's a really nice guy, and very calm, relaxed. And then the show's rough.
Yeah, he's good. It's very good. And, great comedian. Yeah,
I had a great experience. He loved it. Really, and he wrote me again on WhatsApp saying, hey, I can't wait for the L3s he's read to pop up in my house. And he chose the lucky number, the number that he wanted, the limited edition. Still had it. So I will send this out. Tom, if you listen, I will send it out in the next 1-2 days.
Well, you don't know when this episode's going to be released, but we'll tell him, you know.
He already has it.
Yeah. In the next 6 to 8 months, he'll definitely be there at some point, maybe. Fingers crossed. But that's really cool. I mean, that's really nice. You know, Tom's a great guy by the sounds of it. But I think you guys offering those sort of workshop visits just helps to bring the collectors in, I would imagine, because it creates this transparency between what you do and the collectors. Just brings you closer to the people.
Yes,
that's awesome.
But we do it not only for collectors, because collectors mostly, like high-end collectors, they already did the whole assemblage of a whole watch. And
sure.
So we are working really with a Unitas movement, with the same movement like the watchmaker in the apprentissage. They learn on this movement how a watch functions. And this is also nice because it's not just a super collector, it's just people who or families who are interested in watches but don't know nothing. Like, it's a really, it's the perfect starting course. So with this watch, you get the fundamental, where often collectors know already about this stuff. So it's for families, just
teams
which like or don't know anything about watches except they are showing the time and that they're complicated, and they come and they learn. And so it's very, it's 2 hours around if they're not such unhandy. No, but normally it takes around 2 hours, and they are so happy after it. Yeah.
Because in nowadays time, everything is digital. So more and more are only academics, and nobody learns this really handwork, you know?
Yes, of course.
Why we want to push it. We already had a few children here in Switzerland. Usually you have to decide if you want to study or go into the working world.
Technical stuff, yeah.
To understand if they want to become watchmaker or something else. They ask us, the parents even of clients, as we said, they become friends, they become the community. So they ask, hey, could my 15, 16-year-old child have a day with your watchmaker to see if this is interesting for him or not, and if this is the right direction. So we are more than happy to do that for them, because I love when young people also are motivated and are trying to be out of the box and to work with their hands. So this is really, because I always loved when somebody gave me chances, so we want to give people chances.
Cool.
That's fantastic. That's that's really wonderful. That makes me really happy. Just knowing that you guys not only making watches but also supporting and developing the next generation for sustainability. Sort of. Well, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. Really, really cool.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Now, is there anything you want to talk to us, or is there anything that we haven't covered that you guys think we should cover?
No, I think now it's our world. If the check out more online, hundreds of stories which we haven't talked about, but check us out online. Come to the shop if you're in Zurich. Please feel absolutely free, and
connect with us on all the social medias, and also on YouTube. You find a few videos about us. One is Bayer, who is the oldest jewelry store.
Yes.
Bayer Jewelry, they are seventh generation already. They sold watches already in the French Revolution, which is crazy to imagine.
Crazy.
You know? Yeah. And he, Rune Bayer, does these talks, and one of them is with our father. And there also you will learn much more about the brand. And whoever wants to know more, instead of reading, they can just listen. Because as Klaus said, sometimes words are more than written. So to listen to these stories are easier. Yeah.
I've listened to that. I've seen that video in the preparation. And it's really cool. And the guy always also talks in another video to Dieter Meyer. So your father is in the same league, kind of like Dieter Meyer from Yellow.
It was a very big honor, and it was here in the shop. And the first is Jean-Claude Beaver, Dieter Meyer, Sprüngli owner. We can be very proud to be in this league or in this list, Klaus mentioned. That's very true.
Well, look, guys, it's been such a pleasure and joy to talk to you, because as I said, for a brand that's relatively young, you have this real depth of history that your father brought, and now you're continuing. And it's really terrific to hear like the passion and the commitment that you guys put into the work. It's been brilliant. So can't thank you enough, Leonard.
It's
been awesome. Klaus, brilliant suggestion. So glad we managed to set up. It's been perfect. So we'll
Agree with you, yeah.
So we'll link up all the things in the show notes, but for everyone listening, you know, make sure you have a look at the new website, mdm-watches.com, and Instagram is
Maurice de Mauriac. I better get that pronunciation in. I feel like I'm getting better, but I could be the gin talking. So, but guys, thank you so much. It's been fantastic. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best and catch up soon. Bye-bye.
Is by the community for the community. We would love you to join the crew via our group chat on Slack. Email us at contact@fifthrisk.com and join the movement.